15 to 20 million.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area. And as always, I ask that you go to your telephone right now, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860. If they live in our broadcast area, if they're out of the area, they can go on the internet to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. I also would like to note that if you received an email announcing today's broadcast, send it out to family and friends, because this is how we get a number of new listeners and, of course, supporters. Our broadcast is all about facts, figures, common sense, and we're talking about the well-being of American workers, America, and its economy. And that's something that's really needed more than most people know. I want to say, first of all, thank you to our panel members for their endless support of our broadcast. And they include Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, the East Coast vice president of SCORE, Rich Logis, the new dad, and also the principal of RJL Technology Integration. And our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. And I'm Michael Blihash, always proud to be with you. And I want to say thank you to everyone that tunes in. And we have a big festival coming up, huge festival, two weekends, this Labor Day weekend, and that's at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. It starts Saturday, Sunday, continues on Labor Day Monday from 12 noon until 8 p.m., and then the following weekend on the 10th and the 11th. If you're there, stop by the main stage. I will have our flyers, we have newspapers, and so much more. I'll be looking forward to seeing you there. Also, I would like to note a few things before we go to our panel members and guests. Last Wednesday, that was the 23rd, I was a guest on the Philly Labor Show here on 860, and that's heard every Wednesday from 2 in the afternoon. My compliments to Joseph Dock and to Pat Iding for all of their efforts to support American workers. We're all trying to unite our efforts so that we can bring attention to employment opportunities right here in the USA. I want to compliment Joe Dock and Pat Iding for great radio shows each week. They are on at 2 p.m. here on 860 a.m. Now, I know one more thing. As you know, we declared National Small Business Weekend some few years ago, and that takes place the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month. Boy, this has turned into a nice effort. It costs the stores and all absolutely nothing to be involved. All they can do is something special. I know I have a pizza guy who, when you buy a pizza, he gives you a free soda if you say you're supporting National Small Business Weekend. I have a baker, instead of giving you 12 rolls, will give you 13, a baker's dozen, because you mentioned Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And that's National Small Business Weekend. So those types of little things are helping to unite people. But most of all, it's helping people to remember that little stores in the communities are anchors of the community. They employ over 60 million people across America, and we really need them as we look forward to restoring jobs here in America. We're going to need all those little businesses to sell the items that we'll be making, and all the restaurants and little convenience stores will all need to be there so that when the workers get paid and go out for coffee and cake and everything else, they will be there to support them. So please do support National Small Business Weekend. And we do have a link on the front page of our internet site. When you go on, there's a map of America. Just click on National Small Business Weekend, and it has all of the information about our efforts. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have to say this. This has been a very, very, very interesting week. And I know that our panel members and our guests want to talk about the ongoing presidential campaign, which is directing more of its time and efforts, like historic time and efforts, talking about revitalizing jobs in America, talking about looking at those trade agreements that should have been looked at and well documented long before they were agreed to, revitalizing America's infrastructure, and maybe even looking closely at our education system. As taxpayers, we pay the bill. So we should have more to say about exactly what goes on in the schools and what we should be doing to help people understand what a good education will do for them the rest of their life. But we also have a guest with us who will be on for a while, and that is Mr. Jim Austin. And we'll allow him to introduce himself in just a few minutes. But first, I want to turn to Mark. Mark, what's been happening up your neck of the woods? And what are you feeling about the campaign? Everywhere I go, that's all I hear from people. And by the way, I have to say this. Everybody feels that the balance of the campaign will be very brutal. But I think that's what the American people want at this time. I think they want to see what the candidates have to offer and how sincere they are to fight for the well-being of America. Mark, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Hi, Mike and Henry and Rich. And I think Larkin's going to join us shortly. And I guess we have Jim Austin, so hello. I'm not sure if Jim's on yet. Mike, it's been quite a whirlwind. You know, we're at the end of August. This is the last day of the month, and for businesses, you know, this is our kind of hell day of the month. You got to get everything together. But, you know, I came out of that Erie County Fair 12-day show, and then our one mall decided to move us again overnight. You get 24-hour notice. So my team really was tested the last 3 weeks again. And I try to pick up the news. I tape it every night and try to keep up. You know, there's so much going on. The economy is just sluggish, you know, and I know that in business, of course, I'm tied to the oil mining industry quite a bit, so we're at an all-time low with work from that. Lately, Mike, I'd like to bring up the Dodd-Frank. It was the Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, I think Obama signed in around July of 2010. And I bring that up, Mike, because I'm actually being hit with it pretty good. And a lot of people don't know businesses to get money, and Larkin would agree, very, very hard for business to get capital, let alone a startup company out of a garage or a young person or older person just starting a business for the first time. But even a 30-year-old business like myself, the Dodd-Frank reform came along, and what it's doing to banks is it's causing this extra regulation and more, and we needed, there was definitely issues, and they wanted to avoid bailouts, but I think they overregulated, and I say that because I'm being hit with that, and a lot of people don't know you get forced to use accountants that you don't regularly use, or you might have had a 30-year accountant like myself that we got a great relationship, and you're forced to do reviewed level statements and all these extra things, but my point is it's very, very, very hard to get capital at these times for a business, and it's choking off a lot of businesses. And again, I think the government launched something that they never looked at and never studied and never really seen what happened afterward. Again, you know, they launched something, never follow up on it and see how it's working out there and how it slowed the economy. So, you know, when you talk about, you know, one other thing, Mike, I want to bring up with this election coming up. I went to my daughter. She's 13 going into ninth grade, so a big move for a 13-year-old going from eighth grade to a high school freshman. And I went to an orientation last night, and I sat there, and they separated the adults and the children, you know, and they separated, and they know it's a big step from middle school to high school. But the adults, they gave us 15 minutes of what to expect for your child in freshman year, and I had three other children. But then they got these two people on that talked about the drug problems. And they went through the drugs, and back in our day, Mike, and, you know, the guys, you know, you had beer and marijuana. It wasn't a big deal, and it's just – it blew my mind what's out there and what's going on with this drug epidemic. And in our county, 300 people died last year. They expect another 600 to die this year. And opium and the drugs and the things they're doing with vaporizers, things that I didn't even have a clue what's going on out there. And it brings a point when you talk about a wall. We've got to stop the drug trafficking into this country. When I seen this at my kid's high school, I mean, I thought I knew a lot. I know the head police officer there. I know the principal. What's going on out there and what people don't know, again, they've got to be educated on the problems that are coming into this country, Mike. So that's my point. You know, you got two choices this year, and, boy, you know, building a wall to me, or, you know, working that border and stopping trafficking of drugs coming in this country really hit me hard last night.
You are absolutely, oh, and you're a great.
Well, you got a nine, you know, a ninth grader.
That's right.
They're up against, and 600 kids are going to die in my county this year. Here's a problem.
And that's a tragedy to know that this has been allowed to continue. We all know where a lot of the drugs are coming from, and yet the people in elected office right now, they have had the keys to the capitals and to what we're driving. Instead
and
of
Mike, I want to say one thing. These two counselors, and this one lady had, 25 years at a bank, and she had a son that, you know, she almost had to go to his gravesite. But the hooks, and I call them hooks, that the salespeople, the businessmen, these drug dealers are putting in these drugs are so, they can't get off. You can't just yell at your kid. It's just such a different day. But this is a business, and that's bound being to be allowed to be run at our borders to make money off our children, and that bothers me.
Yep, I agree. Oh, man, I agree. Rich, Dr. Logis, what would you like to add to all that?
Well, good morning, guys, and so happy to have Jim on. We're going to get to him in a moment. I'm going to do something, guys. I just want to put it out there for our listeners that I'm going to do every single week on this show until probably early October, and I'll tell you why that date. Every week I'm going to come on this show, and I'm going to give how many days left till our election. Today there are 68 days remaining until the general election. Tick-tock.
Yep.
Mark, TikTok,
mm-hmm.
TikTok, and do all of our listeners who are not registered to vote, do you know what your state deadline is? As a matter of fact, let me offer some information, Michael, for the state of Pennsylvania. It's October 11th.
Well, that's I want you deadline. To know, Rich, make sure you constantly tell people that it's right
worry.
On the
I'm
top
you guys know
of
right
our
off.
Front
I'm
page.
You guys know right off the bat. And, Tim, don't worry. You don't need to put the finger on the delay button for this one. Don't worry about this one. But every week I'm coming on, and I'm going to tell you guys, and I'm going to tell our listeners, how many days? 68 days today, TikTok. October 11th in Pennsylvania. Mark, New York's the 14th. All of us here in Florida, me, Jim, and Larkin, October 11th. So do you know what your state registration deadline is to be able to vote in the general election? Because if you're not registered to vote come, like, middle or end of October on this show, like, for if you're listening, you've missed the boat, and we have to spend our time to talk to people who didn't miss the boat.
You know, Rich,
with all
due
respect,
is a link on the front page of American Workers Radio, right above the panel members. It goes right to registertovote.org. What that site provides is all 50 states, the deadlines, how to do it. All you do is put your name, address, and other information in, and they will send you a voter registration form. So there's really no excuse for people not to be registered to vote. And voting is a privilege. If you're over 18, a citizen of the United States, please don't delay. Yes, Dr. Rich.
And one other thing I want to say, guys, let me preface by saying, there are a lot of nuggets of wisdom that have been spoken on this show in the last many years. But I want to single something out that Mark Andel said last week. And I'm not sure if all of us really, I mean, we heard it, but did we really hear it? And Mark, you said last week that you believe that this is our last best chance. Did you not say that? I heard you say that, right?
Right.
Okay. Do our listeners agree with that? See, I want to ask a question. No one has to call in, and you don't have to answer on air. But does our panel and do our listeners, do you agree with that statement? Do you agree with that? Because if you agree with it, now I don't want to speak for Jim. He's coming on. Jim Austin agrees with that statement. So if anybody, Mark, wants to tell you and me, because I agree with you also. So if anyone wants to tell us that we're exaggerating, that's fine. But I would like those same people who are telling us that we're exaggerating to tell that to Jim Austin, who in his military service has seen some stuff we can't even imagine. I'd like, Mark, for those people who say we exaggerate, to talk to my neighbor, Mr. Armin, who escaped Hungary in the 1940s, whose parents died in the Holocaust, who agrees with you. I'd like for some of those people to talk to some of my Cuban neighbors who fled Fidel Castro and his brother, Raul, two communist despotic murderers. You guys remember Raul Castro, right? He's the guy our president did the wave with at a baseball game. You guys remember him, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to say that I'm exaggerating, Mark Andel's exaggerating, Jim's exaggerating, no problem. Go tell those guys that they're exaggerating. Go tell Jim. Go tell my neighbor, Michael. Go tell Mr. Armin from Hungary. Go tell my Cuban neighbors. Go tell them. Because every one of them, Mark, agree with you.
You know, what you're saying, Rich, and what Mark said is, right now we've been watching the people with the keys to the Capitol do whatever they want to do for years. They've been either taking us on a smooth ride, which means doing nothing, or they've been crashing us, taking our tax money, putting us in debt, and the people are simply tired of it. So during this election, don't be afraid to speak up, get others to vote, and whatever will be on the evening of November the 8th. We will know the true will of the people. If 80 or 90% of the registered voters come out, we will know the true meaning of the people. If only 30, 40, or 50%, that's only half of the possibilities.
And Mike, I think it Rich, you know, it matters what America we want for our children. You know, what America do you want for your children? That's really what we're voting on, and you get two choices.
Yep, and you have so much discussion now. Luckily, I'm hearing more about jobs and what we're going to do. But where were the true elected officials all these years? All these years, where were they to worry about infrastructure and education and jobs and trade agreements? Now, all of a sudden, they're speaking up because an outsider comes into the picture. We all know how Trump made his money. We all know that. But we don't know how the Clintons made their money. She said on 60 Minutes, I believe, that they left the White House. They were broke. She used that word. We were broke.
Yeah.
And today they have $100-some million. And where did that money come from? The people are starting to ask.
Mike,
well, exactly,
you know,
where did the money come from?
I've got major buses coming in this time of year, and it's beautiful. They love the new store. They're coming in from all around. I've got six buses in the same hour coming up next weekend on a Saturday at 10:45 from all over. These buses are me and you and Rich and Henry and Larkin and our listeners. I mean, they're Americans, and what they've got to say, I'm just listening. You just said it, Mike. There's an outsider and an insider. You know, I mean, they want the America we had. How did we get in this mistake? Buying made in America is so powerful, and I want the listeners to go out tonight. Look at what you're buying. It works. It's not just a fad.
Right.
It's a movement that really, really works. You know, I say vote. Everybody's got to vote, and then vote with your dollar.
Mark, can I make a comment about your earlier point about drugs? Okay. First off, the largest supplier of heroin in this country comes from Mexico, largest supplier. Everybody knows what Donald Trump said about some of the people who come in from Mexico into our country. Do those same people know that Hillary Clinton is on record publicly saying that if need be, she would invade Mexico to stop the heroin flow? Did you guys know that? Did you know that she said that? Do our listeners know that? Do you know why people don't know it? Because it's not plastered on the mainstream media prime time for 24 damn hours a day, Mark.
Rich, and you're in Miami. I mean, if you see, well, just listening for an hour what this is doing to our children. You know, Henry, I know you'd believe you've got your children. You're into sports. You got to keep these kids busy in that. But what's being out there and the hooks that are putting in it ruins these kids' life. Just that reason, that border should be protected. And that should stop the semis from going through the tunnels that are bored under it.
But, you know, Mark, you're right. And it's been discussed for probably 30 years as they watch the jobs go. Why hasn't there been real action? That's the problem. They built a portion of the border where the states demanded it the most, but then they left the rest and we're going to get around to it. I mean, two or three presidents have discussed the border fence because of the drug issue, and yet nothing went up.
Now, I say America got selfish, greedy, and lazy. Absolutely. I mean, that's what we did. But to sacrifice our kids' futures on drug deals for greed and money and to let the government regulations turn their back on that and turn their head, you know, it's got to be stopped.
Well, guys, we're going to turn to our special guest who has been on this program before. And Jim, tell us a little bit about yourself before you answer some of the things that you already heard today.
Well, thank you for having me on. Welcome to Michael, Larkin, Rich, Mark, and Henry. Thank you very much, and to the listeners out there. My business is I build encrypted computers you can't break into. And the encryption process is completely different than any encryption you've heard of. All that other encryption is software encryption. This is hardware encryption. It encrypts the entire hard drive so that you start it up with a key. The computer will not start unless you have a key, and that means you can't use or hack it. The computer will not go on, so there's no hack tools can be applied to it or technique to break into it. And the best part is, if the computer is stolen or the hard drive taken out, it does not give up information. It looks like a blank, completely new hard drive with all plausible deniability that anything was ever on it. So, in short, thieves do not get your information. I have been listening to this discussion, and the part about drugs coming into the U.S. is a major consideration for everything that Mark said, but I'm going to take you all to a different approach. There are permutations to that. You're not just solving one problem if you stop that drug flow and build the wall. You're solving a multitude of problems. Because where is that money going? All that illicit money is going to criminals and governments who in turn use that money for other harm to countries like ours. This is the key why it is doubly important to stop those flows. Because, for example, Afghanistan produces a lot of heroin. Of course, Mexico is now. Where do you think that money is going? Iran produces illicit drugs. Where do you think that money is going? Besides their nuclear program, which we allowed them to continue with. It's just stupid to neglect and not do something about these problems that are so blatant in our society. In fact, I made a comment quite a while ago. If you look at the evolution of our society over the last bunch of years, a decade, you can see some dramatic changes. For example, you see the civil unrest that is occurring. And I plainly see that as a sign of poor leadership in our country. And that is an indicator in itself that we have been failing with leadership and why we seek more and better leadership. When I first came, well, it was the second time I came on the show, it was about a year ago, and Donald Trump was a beginning phenomenon, and he had a lot of the people running against him. And I think I iterated the reason of his popularity is that the American people, by and large, are just sick and tired of politicians not representing the constituency. They may say they do. They get into office, and somehow they're caught up in this duopoly of politics. And they end up, the most important thing to a politician is reelection, and some of them lining their own pockets. In fact, we just had a politician sent to the curb here in a district of Florida from Congress. Corinne Brown was indicted literally last week on corruption charges, and she failed in her bid to reestablish herself. In the comments, she just completely ignores it. Very much in a Hillary-esque way. So you see these politicians that are not very good role models out in the public eye, And slowly that erodes the fundamental values of America, of honesty, truth, doing the right thing, everything that America stands for. So this is a crossroads, because we've seen the American ethic plunge. Now, not my ethic and not your ethic. So this is why Americans have to stand up and do something about this now, because we can't survive another 4 or even 8 years of continuation in the direction we're going. We've lost so much overseas business-wise, and Mark Larkin, well, all of you can attest to that. We see it every day, that our economy is basically teetering. And if we don't get that in order, we're done. So I don't know if there's any comments to that, but I was emailed a question by Michael and Henry, and I would like to get onto that. But are there any comments on that so far from anybody?
Well, it's the truth. And, you know, Jim, what you just said is something that we should have been hearing from politicians for 25 years. They should be talking about the factual things that happen to the young people, to the businesses, to the jobs as a result of the drugs. A person who gets hooked on drugs can't hold a job. A person who's hooked on drugs takes up the resources of government because they have to be helped in some way, or the healthcare system. These are things that they are not discussing whatsoever. Look at how long it took to bring attention to the situation in the Veterans Administration hospitals. Now, we have all these veterans representing their constituents from different states, yet how many of them that you can actually point to right now have year after year placed it in the budget that we need to review what's happening in those hospitals? Nothing. How many people have put in the budget, we have to review what is happening as a result of drugs in our counties, our states, and across our nation? How many people have been sacrificed? How many jobs have been lost because we don't have the skilled workers that we could have if those boys and girls were not hooked on drugs? That's my only comment.
And Jim, I just want to say hello, and again, a lot of respect for you, who you are as a veteran, what you've done, you know, wearing our country's uniform, and very intelligent on all different matters. And, you know, Rich, I know you hooked up with Jim, but I think a great, great find and friend for the show. But, you know, they lack, the politicians and leadership, they lack care. You know, they became so selfish. They lack care. They're just worried about their life, not the future of the country, and that's a problem for a leader of any kind. And I don't know if you've seen, Mike or Rich, you might have seen what I sent you, the Consumer Reports out for August. You know, the front page of Consumer Reports, the August issue, says, I kind of ruined my life by going to college. The only reason I bring this up, 42 million people owe $1.3 trillion in student debt right now, average $150,000, and they have six people in this article, six pages on it, where one became an RN nurse, and there's no way she's going to pay her debt off and buy a house and raise a family. But they turned that into a business also, even after our veterans and any way they can make money. Nothing against college. I mean, it works for some, but they turned it into a business again, and I think there's another problem we've got to attack.
It is a racket that they turned it into. And in fact, here's another situation.
Again, about money. Great.
Why didn't the 535 people in Washington bring this up? Why is education a business? You should be educating people so that they're able to join the workforce and do something positive, not continue to be in debt. I did see the article, Art. And Mark, it's a disgrace. And you know what? Probably the elected officials looked at it and said, oh, well, this is just part of the reality of life.
Build another university. You know,
I have a comment. This is Jim. It's kind of interesting listening to the banter around this, because all of what you're saying is true. But what is the fundamental reason why student debt is a problem? The fundamental reason is because our economy is poor and there are no jobs out there. Because if they could get a job and there was competition and pay scales were rising in a growing economy, there wouldn't be this problem.
So, Jim, if you did two things, like you said, take care of the drug problem, which would take care of many, many, many problems, and grew Made in America, building products in your own country, produce more than you can consume, and we all know there's a lot, it'll take a lot of time, but them two issues can take care of a lot of things.
A lot of things.
Michael, the student, and Jim, thanks again for coming on. Good to hear you. Good to hear from you. The student debt thing is a bipartisan problem, but let me pick on my favorite political party, the Democrats. They lie about why the debt has happened the way it has. Oh, these states cut funding. Bull. The reason the college went up, Mark, is because the states flooded the public school, public universities with monies, with tax monies. Now, I failed economics 102, but I did pass 101. And what I learned in 101 is when you throw a bunch of money at something, what happens? The prices go up. So as all of these monies, tax monies, public monies, were thrown at all of the schools, public schools, universities, all of a sudden the private institutions said, whoa, we're losing money here. We got to bump our prices up.
Right.
We got to bump up our prices now because there's a really, really big market, just like another issue, which me and Jim have talked a lot about. The number one reason for the housing crash was because people got credit they shouldn't have gotten. It's plain and simple. Simple economics. Why, Jim? Because of this attitude that owning a home, this philosophy, which again was bipartisan, signed in by Clinton, it was this philosophy that everyone has a right to own a home.
Yeah, that's wrong. You have a right to own a home if you can pay for it.
Right. I agree, 100%.
And we are going to listen.
When I brought up Dodd-Frank earlier, the reform.
And Mark, we're going to listen to the Democrats, the party of Wall Street. Does the average Democrat voter know that Wall Street gives far, far more to the Democrats than anyone else? Does the average listener, for our listeners, do you know that? Michael, you asked where did Clinton make her money? That's easily verified. That's easily verified where those hundreds of millions of dollars came from. Guys, we are past the point of Republican, Democrat, left, right, liberal, conservative, red versus blue. We're way past that point. We're into something and embroiled much deeper. Much, much deeper. But the question is, do you agree with that? Or do you think, well, Rich, we've got problems, but, you know, what's for dinner? That's the hard thing, Mark, based on your statement that you said. There has never been a truer statement uttered on this show than what Mark said last week, which I couldn't frighteningly agree more with. It's our last best chance. This is game seven. This is game seven. And if there is no next game, Michael, there is no next season. And if anybody wants to say, if anybody wants to have a spinning contest over who's right and who's wrong on this, we've only 68 days, tick-tock, not a lot of time left. I'm happy to engage in it. So for those who disagree, you bring your evidence, and people like me, Mark, and Jim, we'll put our evidence together. But I got to give a forewarning. Anybody who brings evidence to us is going to lose and lose badly.
You know, also, as you're saying this about the schools, I really believe that changing the way Americans view America really has its roots in our schools. We are supposed to be paying the taxes, putting the children through a good education, and yet some of the teachers are very questionable. Many of the teachers don't know anything about history. They have nothing, no idea about civics. Trade classes were not, promoted. They have to be restored. I think it's time now to ensure that colleges educate teachers so they really know how to teach and inspire students. If you don't have teachers that are willing and able to teach, or they're just there to do a job, they're not going to do what they're supposed to do. And by the way, all this tenure stuff and all, that, you know, I've been around for so many years and this and that. That all has to go out the window. It's time to put our time, our effort, and our tax dollars to families and children who are going to be great Americans. Add to our economy and stop sending America's economy all over the world.
And Mike, I got to bring up again the skilled trade worker shortage. I am having so much trouble finding one person that held a hammer or a screwdriver in their life that I can train and become a welder. It's incredible, the shortage. And we talk about it. We need it now. There are no skilled workers available in Western New York here.
You know, you're right. And, you know,
Mark,
working in human services, I get a lot of people asking about jobs and can you send me this or that? And if you could send me somebody with who's been in another job that has some skills in this area, I'm telling you, it 10, 12 years ago, it was much easier. Today, it's really hard work. We need more teachers that are entering the classrooms with the real mission to instill in the students and have them graduate with more skills. And I'm talking about the trades and everything else. The trades are very important. Without the trades, we have a shortage here in Pennsylvania, in Western Pennsylvania. There are some tradesmen that they have to be pulled off other jobs to do certain repairs or when they're building new facilities because there's not enough of them.
We need a new class too, Micah. It needs to teach drive, ambition, and common sense.
Common sense
is
it.
Lost.
And,
somehow,
you know, they
our
have
schools
to.
Schools washed it out.
We have to talk about, you know, self-esteem, you know, what you do for the rest of your life, how you're able to present yourself. There's something lacking in America, and it started from the top. It started from the top. If the president puts it in his annual speech, that's fine. But then it has to come through the Congress people and the senators. And if the people in the states don't attack their senators and their House of Representatives, I'm sorry to say nothing is happening. When people tell me they go to their school boards and talk about restoring the trades, and the first thing comes out of the school board mouth is, oh, where are we going to get the money? It's going to take a lot of money to re-up those classrooms. Where are we going to get the teachers? There are no skilled teachers for us to contact. Well, how did we let it get to that point that we have no skilled teachers to even put in the classrooms? We have to pull people out of businesses to go into the teaching positions to teach boys and girls the skills that are needed by the industries operating in America now. If we want to attract more industries back, we have to get those skilled trades back in the classroom.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's it's a fundamental thing that gets America going. I mean, we need to be producers again. If we're not producers, our economy is continuing to drop off, and we're just a retail point for the world. If we don't manufacture and have things going on ships away from America, then we're soon going to be in trouble.
Here's a perfect example. You're right, and I just had this happen last week. My daughter was ready to throw herself to the river, but I'll tell you, I went into a store, and they were having a demonstration for a frying pan. You know what? You heard of this frying pan that you requires no grease, no water, no none of that stuff. So the demonstration was very nice. And the girl looked around at the seven people standing there and she said, would you like to take one home with you? And I said, it is wonderful. I said it in front of everybody. It's a wonderful product. I know two people who would like it. But I have to ask you the question. Where is it made? And she looked at me like what does that mean? Who cares where it's made? So she turned the handle over, and she looked at the bottom, the back of the wrapper, and it wasn't made in America. When she said, oh, it's made here, I don't want to cut any countries down, but it wasn't made in America. And I said, well, then I can't buy it. But everybody else walked away, too. So talking up, speaking up, influences people. And that's what I'm going to do at the festival at Częstochowa this weekend and next weekend. I'm going to make sure that people are influenced.
Mike, you know how many people blame me and tell me, Mark, thanks to you, it takes longer to shop now.
That's right. You caused a lot of trouble for people, Mark, and thank God for it.
My wife spends too much money in your store, too.
Well, that's good.
I hear that a lot, right?
Well, you're the only place that I know of that offers 100% American. So,
On that line, my store, which is a designated area in a store with certified 100% products, is doing real well. We're going to open two more, Batavia Downs and also Ellicottville. The small lady was running her mom and pop, but she's going to have a section in. That store is going to be the ticket, I think, across this country. Every store that exists, have a section 100%. Make that statement, support the country you live in. 50-50 fair trade, but these stores were doing wholesale products. People said they couldn't find the products. Well, we have a distribution house filled with the products, not one with a plug on it, and not one that takes a battery, and that is a problem.
Now, Jim, you're into computers. Can you understand how Mark could even say that we don't have one thing with a plug on it?
100%.
It's really sad
It's quite simple. Most of the electronics are just not made in the U.S. anymore.
But why? Tell me why. You're a man who works on computers, electronics. Tell me why they're not made in America.
We lost our manufacturing capacity. After World War II, we helped Japan recover, and one of the items that we taught them how to build was electronics. And they flooded the market with it. Guess what? They just got better and better and eventually displaced us. It happened over a long period of time. And that's what people have, poor memories, and they don't have the scope to see a progression of small steps that lead to a major change in a country such as ours. I mean, it happened over a long period of time. We just can't make that anymore.
Now, here's a question, second question, Jim. How did it happen? Did it happen because it was only in one community in America, only in one state, or was it a national letting the American people down? Did national leaders screw us, in other words?
Yes, absolutely. The leaders did not have the scope. Let's face it, a president is president for 4 or 8 years. What you need is someone that can see 32 many years down the road. What does this mean? And actually, Trump's been pretty good at that. Everybody else seems to be short-sighted because of the selfish factor in their corruption. They just want to get something done for them at the time, make people happy, get reelected, and Congress goes rolling over and over. Now, I was sent an email by Henry recently that I found disturbing. And, Michael, you had something to do with it because I think you alerted to Henry. And it has to do with the Department of Commerce handing off the final vestiges of American control over the Internet to an international authority.
Right.
And this is going to occur on October 1st.
October 1st.
I looked into it, and I found out it's true because the Commerce Department is the one stating it. And what they're giving away is the called the Internet Assigned Numbers Authority, which the U.S. really discovered and built the Internet. And the world adopted it very quickly because it was better than sliced bread. And, of course, now we're relying on it totally for commerce, entertainment. Just about every aspect of our life seems to run over the Internet in some way, good or bad. But business is dependent on it. And what the proposal is, it's not just a proposal. They're going to do this, and there's a lot of strong thoughts about this, and it has not been in the media. Why? The media just does what they want to do. They're prejudiced now. They're not alerting us to potential problems like this. But the whole idea is to move this authority over to the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. I can't.
And where are those corporations going to be located?
That corporation is set to be located in California under a multinational stewardship, which includes China, Russia, Iran, many international countries, we haven't even transferred it over, and they're already talking about moving it away from the U.S.
Right. That's why I told that to Henry. He could not understand it. We discussed it, and he sent it around. It's almost enough to drive you nuts. How is it that our leaders are not there saying, I'm sorry, if everybody else wants to do this, that's fine, but we're not letting our internet rights out of America?
Michael, may I?
Jim, yes.
Jim, can I follow up a point, please?
Sure.
Michael, you're asking on the air. You're saying on the air, I don't understand this. How is this happening? How is it possible? Guys, what have I said on this show? What's the last thing that the collectivists are going to go for? What's the last thing? It's our internet. It's our courts and our internet. They've already infested everywhere Adam's friends are. Schools, universities, Hollywood, mainstream media, social media. They're all there. What's left, Jim? What is left?
It's the last control over commerce and people that is truly worldwide.
Yep. And we've had this already discussion with Ms. Briney and others where they don't want us to have on our labels where the product is made and all, trying to diminish America. We have to change this. It's total stupidity.
Well, what more evidence? Okay, but guys, our listeners, you want to disagree with me, fine. You want to disagree with Jim and Mark, what more is it going to take to have you understand that we're not exaggerating? What more evidence are we going to need?
What it's going to take, Rich, is when they get a tax or some kind of a levy on all internet sites, you'll then have to start to pay for your emails and everything else.
No, Michael.
They're going to want to do that. That's
Michael,
the next step.
Michael, I don't care about a tax. I care about someone censoring the internet. That's what I care about.
And if somebody was censoring the internet in your own country...
It's happening here, Michael.
It is. That's fine. But when we're allowing other countries to have as much access because of this new international agreement, then we're letting ourselves open to the world, and that's not good.
All of the countries that Jim just cited censor and manipulate their internet in their country and the flow of information that goes to their people. That's what tyrannical governments do.
I'm going to ask a question, Jim. How could this be stopped?
Well, you got to understand what the control is all about and how to stop it. Here's what happens. This office that the U.S. has that's going to hand over the information, what they do is they control the names. And believe me, millions of names are published out each month. They're assigned a set of numbers that is interpreted into an IP address. An IP stands for Internet Protocol. In other words, it fixes your place numerically at a position on the internet. And right now, the U.S. controls that in a very nice, organized way and try to be as least prejudiced as possible. Once a country like China or Iran or Russia has access to those blocks of numbers, there's just a multitude of things that they can do. I mean, the one suggestion is to move ICANN to a Beijing office. Well, guess what's in the same building? The Cyberspace Administration of China. Do you think that's a good idea? Because already, to Rich's point, China doesn't even let Facebook go through to their people. You can set up a VPN and probably get it, or you can share desktops. There's backdoor ways to do that. But China monitors this. Right now, the Chinese government has to find and hunt down all those IP addresses. If they're part of the control system, they don't have to hunt anymore. They get blocks of them, and they can make all kinds of social filters to keep things from going in certain places. It would be very easy to do. So stopping it would be easy. I mean, we seem to trust ourselves. I wouldn't let it go. I think it's just a stupid idea.
Now, Jim, let me ask you this. This is a very important question. Who allowed this to happen?
Well, President Obama pushed it. He's been making pledges for some time. Now, this is property of the U.S. We invented it. It's our property. I'm under the belief that if you give away or sell property that belongs to the U.S., you have to have congressional approval, and he's doing it without it. And that's what's wrong about this.
So if a new president came in, that president could stop this?
No, I don't think so, because they're set to do it on the 1st of October before he leaves office. This is what's so dangerous. And Ted Cruz has been one of the very vocal people about this. This is not a good idea to let this go. And because, as you recall, you know, I attended a conference, an invite-only conference, just a little less than a year ago. The FBI contacted me and invited me to an intellectual property summit. And I'll just go over very quickly. When I went to this summit, I had to surrender my cell phone. I had to sign papers. I had to get a CJIS clearance. And we were welcomed by the director, James Comey, to talk about the intellectual property loss that the U.S. is experiencing, because they want to stop it. They want to stop it for the reason that the economy is extremely bad. It's not good like people think it is. And the worldwide intellectual property loss was $600 billion. The U.S. property intellectual property value is $6 trillion. And in 2014, we lost $300 billion worth of our $6 trillion. That's a significant amount. And it was increasing to 2015. And 2016, it's tracking higher. What does this mean? It means... And the FBI has used modeling with their big computers that since the economy is teetering, very poor, that the intellectual property loss will bite into us so badly that they predicted we would start seeing the effects of this within 2 years. And that's 1 year from now. And the main countries that are creating this, they identified was China, Russia. Russia was divided into two groups, military and Russia mafia. And they were starting to see similarities in the two because they felt that the Russian military people were getting out of the military and moving into other cybercrime. So these are the people they want to hand this authority to.
Well, I don't know, Jim, what can be done, but this is an opportunity. If you can send me a statement about that, I'll try to have that posted in email. We have a huge email list, and I will send that around. Maybe it's time for our elected officials in Washington to stop it, put a hold on it. You can table anything.
Michael, like who? Like whom? Like whom?
How about Ted Cruz and the others that wanted to run for president? Let them be on the forefront of getting this thing off the ground.
We have a presidential candidate who gave away our intelligence, gave it away. And yesterday there were reports that Benghazi-related, 30 specific Benghazi-related messages were not turned over to the FBI. Jim, that's 30 more charges for indictment and perjury. 30. 30 more. Okay, guys? 30 more. So they weren't turned over. We've given intelligence, and there are 301 Republicans in the Congress. Where are they? How many stupid hearings do we need to have? You don't fight these guys with the butter knife. Where are they? You come to the gunfight with an army. Where's their sit-in? Where are the 301 Republicans, led by Paul Ryan, who's the main, most visible Republican in the Congress, saying, I don't care, other 300 Republicans, if we've disagreed on issues. Right now, I'm walking over to the White House, and I'm going to have my own sit-in to demand why the laws of this country are not being enforced and upheld. You're either coming with me or you're not.
They don't have the brass to do that. Well, this is the sad part of it.
Then it sounds to me like in our election coming up, 68 days, tick-tock, it's not just about the presidential election then, Michael, is it?
No.
It's also about Congress and state and local, right?
Right. But the thing is, if this is going to take, and I know it's taking effect October the 1st, this is going to be very negative for the American people. And I think all those people like Rubio and everybody else should be up in front of the White House saying, stop this now.
Letters don't work.
No. You have to go and stand. You have to get the whole Congress out to show some set of you know what on the lawn of the White House, so that we don't have this thing take over us. There's no reason for us to be selling all of our properties, making a fool out of ourselves. Gentlemen, we're getting close to that time. But Jim, I'm going to ask you to come back very soon, and I mean very soon, before this election season is over. But as we begin to close off today, I just have to say we're days away from Labor Day, a holiday that we would like to celebrate again for the true meaning, which means that all workers are able to have full-time jobs, demonstrate their job skills, have the ability to support themselves and their families. These are the kinds of things that Labor Day was started back in 1882. And 99%, by the way, of the working age and able-bodied Americans of that time, of all races and creeds, had at least one full-time job, because the Industrial Revolution was strong and Americans were supporting everything that was made in America. That's not the way it is today. We have a huge jobs deficit in this country, and it has to come to an end. One more thing I'm going to ask all of you to do. Can you kindly go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and review all of the links? And now for closing remarks, I'm going to call first on Rich.
Real quick, guys, thank you so much for Jim, for being on. We're going to have you on again before the election. Everyone out there, if you're not registered to vote, get out and get registered to vote. I don't care if you've never voted before. Have your say this year. Have your say and ask yourself, are you willing to take a gamble that Mark Andel's wrong?
Mark,
are you willing to take that bet?
Very good. Thank you. Mark, what would you like to say as a closing?
I just want to say great show, Jim. Great to have you on. You know, the listeners out there, go out and buy Made in America. Do your part. It works, and you can feel good about it and really make a difference as a person of this country.
And remember, National Small Business Weekend is always the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month. And Jim, your final thoughts for today.
Well, thank you for having me on. I have written a few articles about the threat to America. If you go to the Google and Google P-38 Pilot Engineering blog, you'll see three of the articles right there at the beginning.
If you can email them to Henry, we will post them on the front page of our site.
Henry has them now.
Okay, very good. Ladies and gentlemen, please go out and support all of your local stores. They really are the heartbeat of your community. As you see, it's important to keep people employed. Thank you for spreading the word about American Workers Radio. I'll be at the festival on both weekends. If you see me there, make sure you stop by. I'll be up at the main stage, and I'll have lots of flyers and newspapers to share with you. Have a wonderful Labor Day holiday, and we'll see you next Wednesday here on 860 AM. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best.
Thank you, everyone.
Stay fired up, guys. Have a great week.